good to see everybody here this morning, and so we are continuing through our series this morning on Holy Night. And here's what I want us to take out the door as we leave this place of worship. He revealed, right? And you and I, we must relay. He revealed, and we must relay. And we'll talk about that. Be finding, if you will, Luke chapter number 2. Again, this morning we'll be concluding this series, our Christmas series, Holy Night. It's been my prayer that this month in December that each of you have been blessed by this series as we celebrate the birth of our risen Savior. And each week we've explored, I think, the transformative impact that Christ brings, which is hope, peace, joy, and now love. And may each of us remember the profound significance of each of these themes in our lives. Hope, peace, joy, and love. And so may hope, peace, and joy already illuminate our surroundings. And so today we focus on the subject of love as a symbol of the divine love that you and I, that we are called to consider. And so this love is not merely vertical, but I want to tell you today, in other words, reflecting God's love for us and our love for Him, but it's also horizontal. And that means that it's representing our love for others. You know, on the very night of Christ's birth, Christmas manifested itself in a specific way. And as love that tells the good news of His arrival, right? Throughout this Christmas series, as we've studied this, we have been viewing scenes from The Chosen's Christmas episode entitled Holy Night. And it was a holy night, right?
Amen.
I mean, we know that biblically.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad they got the title of that series, that episode, from a biblical perspective. But I did borrow the title of the series, Holy Night, from them, and we, by the way, did obtain permission to show Holy Night in our services from the producers for the theme of this series. And so today we begin with the theme that follows immediately after the angels have departed. And so depicting the shepherds as they hurriedly make their way to Bethlehem to witness the child. However, their journey does not end there. Shortly, as we're going to see today, after they arrive there, after arriving, they set off once again. And so as the scene begins to fade away, let us listen to the inspired account from God's Word. And by the way, the message today did not come from the producers, okay? We're just using that as kind of an illustration. The message is from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
About that holy night.
Amen.
And it's coming today from God's Word right here.
Amen.
In Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 through 12. Some of you are sitting there through verse 18, I'm sorry. And you're saying, well, Brother Shane, Christmas was over on Thursday. Let me tell you something, my friend. We're still celebrating
Amen.
Christmas today. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, and there were abiding... and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy,
Amen.
Which shall be to all people.
Good.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which is the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad this saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God Almighty. Amen. Brother Denny, would you pray for me this morning?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. God, we just pray as we go into this new year that we will read it more. God, that we will ask for understanding. God, that we will be obedient to it. God, that we will listen to it. And Lord, as your Holy Spirit speaks to us here this morning, God, through your word, through our pastor, God, that you have blessed us with, God, may we listen. May we take it to heart. And God, and may we honor you in this worship service here today. God, may you bless the words that will be spoken. Use them in every heart that is here. Stir our heart for you, Almighty God. Stir it for our Lord and Savior that was born on Christmas Day as we celebrate. But God, we know that he's born in our hearts throughout the year as people receive him as Lord and Savior of their life. God, just bless this day. Bless it, Lord God, I pray. We thank you for all that you do. And bless our pastor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Denny. Did you catch the significance there in that passage? They came to Bethlehem, and the Bible says they went from Bethlehem. Now that's what's important about today's message. The message intended for all people compelled them to share it with all the people that they could go and reach.
Yeah.
And so one moment they're rushing to the manger, and guess what? The next moment they are hurrying out into the streets. Why is that? Let me tell you, it's exactly because he revealed and we must relate. And so there's three things I want to drive home today if you take notes. Number one, love announced. We see the love announced here. And I know it says applied on the screen, but change that to announced. So we see the witness awakened in verses 10, 11, and 12, and also in verses 17 and 18 here of this passage of Scripture. And so when we talk about here this love that was announced, we see the announcement that was made to the evangelists. The declaration of good tidings. We see that. And a great joy for all the people. Now that served as the shepherds commissioning. And so the essence of their message, which proclaimed a Savior, Christ the Lord, along with its intended audience, which is all, right? Yes. You know who that includes? That includes us as well.
Amen.
Empowered them to go out and to spread the good news. Now, what originated in heaven, as for all, transformed into the heartfelt mission to go out and to tell all.
Yes.
And so we see here the announcement that made the evangelist. We also see the audience that was perfectly placed. You know, everything that God does is always, if he's in it, it's always perfectly done, right?
Amen.
We may not see that. The things I do, the things you do, they're not perfect. But everything he does is perfect. And so this audience was perfectly placed. Why were the shepherds chosen for this pivotal moment? You know, I ask that every time I read this. And so in listening, God's divine providence, their occupation was perfectly suited for their mission. And so shepherds, they possessed all these skills to watch, to move, to warn, to gather, to guide, and to care for their flocks. And so the same instincts motivate a shepherd also to rescue a lost lamb also drive them to guide a neighbor toward the Savior. And so that night, God transformed the shepherds for sheep into shepherds for souls.
Amen.
And so we also see here, not only as we talk about the love announced, but we see the action that defines disciples. Verse 17 is unambiguous. It says, and they had seen it, and they had made known abroad. Now, they did not first convene a committee. That's what a lot of groups like to do, right? Well, let's just come up with a committee. That's not what they did. They didn't have time to form a committee. They didn't develop a strategy. It wasn't their place to develop a strategy. And by the way, let me say this. Most of the time when we're doing what God says to do, we don't need to develop a strategy. God gives us a strategy, right?
Amen.
And it's planted right here in his word. And so we see that instead, you know what? They simply conveyed the message that they had received and the Messiah that they had encountered. And so the love they felt could not allow them to remain silent. You know, I think if we've got the love of Jesus in our heart, we can't do anything but go tell everybody about Jesus. Amen. Amen. About that Jesus that resides in us. He revealed, and you and I, we must relate. Christmas love is such wonderful news. Guess what it does? It moves. And so I want you to notice the extended transition here. And this is where we kind of take a transition in the series as we kind of conclude this week. And it's simply this. We go from the manger to the mission. And so the pattern of Scripture is the going pattern, and it can be traced throughout entirely in the New Testament. I want to just give you some examples. At the beginning, remember John the Baptist, the Bible says, went. That was proclaiming the coming of the Lord. You can go read about that all in Mark chapter 1 or even John chapter 1. And also the Magi. Guess what happened with them? They traveled, the Bible says, from afar. And so wherever they paused, they spoke of the King. And we read all about that in Matthew chapter 2. Remember during Jesus' ministry, the 12 disciples, remember them? They were sent out to share the message, right?
Yeah.
And so later, the 72 that we read about were sent also and commissioned to spread the good news. And we read about that in Luke's gospel in chapters 9 and 10. Remember after the resurrection, think about this. Each gospel concludes with a sending, go and make disciples, and it says to preach the gospel. You know, in Luke's sequel, and if you don't know what that is, it's the book of Acts. In Luke's sequel, the risen Christ, he lays out the mission field in the book of Acts. And so Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and it says to the ends of the earth in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And so following this, guess what? The church goes forth, street by street, city by city, person by person. And you know, from the first Christmas at the early church, I think that this rhythm remains constant and consistent. He revealed, and you and I, we must relay. And so that leads here us to the present day application of our thesis. He revealed, and let me tell you what that means. You and I, we must go. Amen? Now, let us reflect on an important question. And I thought about this as I was preparing a few weeks ago for today's message. And I really began to think a lot about the church. And I'm not talking about just Eastview. I'm talking about the church in general. The question that that came to my mind was simply this. Is the church still going? And we need to think about that for just a moment. Is the church still going? You know, in many places, the answer is obviously an affirmative yes. The gospel is spreading, and churches are being planted. Still today, as I read, there are missionaries continue their vital work, and it is vital work, right? And so, however, we must also acknowledge today, if we're going to be honest, that there has been a noticeable decrease in personal witnessing among many believers. And so Christmas serves, I think, as a response to this drift. The love that came down will not remain dormant. And so there's this dual charge that concludes this series. And by the way, it paves the way for our next season of ministry. Now, listen, he revealed that we must go to the ones that are nearest us. And he also revealed that we must go to the ones at the end of the earth, right? So we're supposed to go locally, and then we're supposed to also go to the ends of the earth. Now, you may not like that, but I didn't come up with that. He commissioned us to do that, right? And by the way, let me just say this. It's the Great Commission, and a commission is a command. We see secondly today, love applied. The second thing we see is love applied. In other words, nearby. You know who that is? your neighbors. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and in Luke chapter 2 verse 17, we see this. The shepherd's initial mission field was Bethlehem. And so we read where the community immediately surrounding them. And I believe this illustrates God's ordinary rhythm. And begin where you are, right? I mean, you've got to begin somewhere, and we've got to begin where we are. And so I want us to notice a few things as we think about love applied. First of all, I want us to think about the place. Acts chapter 1 begins with the call to Jerusalem. Similarly, Luke chapter 2 commences with Bethlehem. For us, our starting point is our town, our neighborhoods, our schools, our workplaces, our teams, our marketplaces. Guess what? Our dining tables. And the great commandment, love your neighbor. You know, it specifically means the one that is near you. Everybody has a neighbor, right? That's the people that are near you. Now, whether or not you realize it or not, I'm just going to reflect on Christmas. Last year at Christmas, our kids participated. Our children's ministry, our kids' ministry, our youth ministry, it participated in missions in so many ways. Y'all remember that? Last year, instead of doing a Christmas play, they went out and they did a lot of mission things. Our adults led in the Christmas play, right? Remember that? And people are still talking about that. They said, you got to buy with not doing one this year. You better do one next year. Somebody told me that in the community the other day. I said, well, you need to come to church and help us. And you know what? The Christmas play was a lot of fun. It was busy, and it was a lot of work. Thank you, Sharon. But let me also say this. It was also an outreach to the community. And it was to our neighbors. This year we served in our community with partnering churches with Operation Christmas Child. And as a result, we prepared 1,000 shoeboxes. I think it was 1,007 that our church did. And as a result, not only that, we collected many, many more shoeboxes from other churches and people in the community that just stopped in and dropped off a shoebox because we were a drop-off location. He gave us a good opportunity to be able to minister and witness to those that came in. And next year that's going to be a lot busier. We're going to need a lot more help with it because we didn't advertise that we were really doing it other than the signs we had. It's being advertised to the churches. They'll be coming here next year. Our kids, guess what? Our kids went out and shouted 10,000 plus in Cleveland at the Christmas parade a few weeks ago. That Jesus loves them. And I've got it on video, and I was right there beside them, and the whole time they were shouting to people that were on the sidelines of the float, Jesus loves you. What a testament.
Amen.
And by the way, I want to say this, just this last Sunday, past Sunday, and if you missed it, you missed a blessing, and I praise God for the number that came out from our church and also our community to support our kids. But they were amazing, and I thank God for the adults as well, but our kids were amazing, showing God's love with the living nativity. I don't know about you, but it blessed my heart.
Yes.
Amen. I know we were scrambling, trying to get cords and everything connected and make sure we got power out here in this field and everything, but you know what? At the end, it was just such a blessing. And so that was an outreach to share the good news of King Jesus. And then there's not only the place, but the people. Love recognizes unique faces, and it learns names. Here it is. Here's the question. Who's your nearest one? Who is your one? See, January's coming up, and I'm already starting to pray about who is going to be my one person outside the church that I'm going to try to go and minister to that I know does not know, or if they do, they act like they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And it's easy for those of us that are working to find one. And maybe it's a co-worker grappling over some private grief, or perhaps a widowed neighbor living just across the street. The barista that you go to and encounter on a regular basis. Or maybe it's that classmate, kids, or that person that sits alone or an extended family member who really tends to shy away from the discussion of faith, who is your one? You need to be asking that question. Because you know what? Christmas love, friend, it compels us to move toward these individuals. And then there's the posture. There is the place, the people, and the posture. Genuine gospel. It's gentle, genuine gospel. You know what the Bible says? The shepherds made known what they had heard and seen. You know what we're called to do the same? What we know about the Lord saving us, we're to go and tell, right? And so there's three simple practices, I think, that for going nearby. First of all, we ought to pray daily by name. Whoever that is that God lays on your heart, pray for them or that place or whatever. Maintain a card or however you need to do it. Mine, I maintain it kind of digitally because I want to be able to look at it through the day and continue to pray. But I do add 3 to 5 names every day that are different names to that list to pray for people. Let's practice some table hospitality. You either invite people to your home to sit down and have a meal, invite a family or a person, or go out to eat and just take time, you know, to invite them over. Say, we saved you a seat tonight. And also, at the right time, present a clear invitation. You might say, well, and this is already passed, but in 2026, you may say something like this. You know, our candlelight service is at such and such time, and I've saved a seat for you. Would you come with me? Invite somebody. We can all do those sort of things. And then there's the picture. A church of open doors, right? I had a couple one time tell me, they said, we're just looking for a new church, and I've shared this before. And they said, "They said it's not you, Pastor. We think you're the best pastor we've had." That's what they told me.
Yes.
I disagreed with them. I'm sure they had many more better than me, but they said, "Well, the reason we want to look for a new church is our church is just growing too big. You know, we like a church with 10 or 15 people." Yeah. And when I became the pastor there at Parkway, there was only 12 people the first Sunday I was there. And we've got a lot more in this room today than that. But this was, you know, a couple years later. They said, we're looking for the perfect church. You know what? If you ever find the perfect church, none of you ought to join it. That's what I told them. You know why? Because you'll run it. But think about, envision our congregation as a vibrant Bethlehem by night. Light spilling out into the streets, the good news, permitting conversations. If every household in this church was committed to loving their nearest ones, whoever that is, through intentional prayer, open tables, and gentle words, you know what? Our town, our community would undoubtedly feel the transformative impact of Christmas love that we've been talking about today. We're talking about love applied. He revealed that we must relate to those who are nearest to us. And then the last thing is love advanced. And I don't know what in the world I've done to these. You need to change joy to advance instead of love. Love advanced. What you get whenever you're on Christmas break, right? You know what that means, far? That's what I mean by that. Love advanced. Nations next. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Listen, friend, the mission that God encompasses both local and global dimensions. The gospel begins with our immediate surroundings. And then it expands outward. It says in the Bible, from Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, right? And this is our local Jerusalem. I like to say it this way. Across the streets, across the states, and across the seas. And so there's three things I want to say about this love advanced. First of all, the mandate. Listen, the risen Christ, this is not a shame thing. This is not a Pastor Shane thing here. It's the risen Christ. He commands us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. The angels proclaimed to all the people. I didn't do it, the angels did. And the church is called to respond to all the places. And then we see the means. You know what? We're to pray, we're to give, we're to send, and we're to go. While not everyone is called, and I understand this, to go across the oceans, everyone is to go across the line, right, of comfort. And I believe that a healthy church embraces this fourfold pattern. I really believe that. We pray, right? That's the first thing. We intercede for workers and reach peoples and breakthroughs of the gospel. Secondly, we give. In other words, we provide the resources for missionaries, Bible translations. Let me say, OCC is one way that we are really giving. Our church, just with the number of boxes, if we had 1,000 boxes, they say that our church reached 12,000 people. That's a lot of people. I don't know that if we've reached that many in our community in the last 50 years. He revealed, friend, you and I, we must relay. Amen. And so love came down at Christmas. I want us to remember that. And love moves out at Christmas. The manger is not merely a place that we gather. It's also the place from which you and I are sent. And so, as I say that, as a church, we need to embody the Christmas rhythm. How do we do that? It's revealed in the Scriptures. He revealed so that we must relay. May our town and our nation once again be marvel at the things that are shared by the people of God. One day, each one of us are going to have to face Jesus face to face and give an account. And the only thing I want in my life when I see Jesus face to face is to hear the words, "Job well done, thy good and faithful servant."